What are your hopes for 2024? Maybe, yeah, maybe it's got a million possibilities for you. Just waiting to come into reality. Maybe you're super hopeful. Maybe you've learned to be more careful with where your mind wanders. Hope is an essential ingredient for life. Too little of it and we will wilt. We will break. And hope kills you. That's what they say, isn't it? It's the hope that kills you. Too much hope in the wrong place and you're doomed. In life, and in 2024 perhaps, we'll be trading off the hope that we need for life with the hope that we can handle to survive. With our hopes, the older and wiser and more hurt we get, the more we realize we've got to put our hope in the right place, the more careful we are with our hopes. And yet, Christmas, in its song and in its narrative, reminds us that all of our hopes are met. The hopes and the fears of all the years are met. They're met in the babe. And we believe, as people of faith, that there's something to hope in. Justice comes. Heaven waits. Good will out. As Christians, as people of faith, as people who believe in this story, we've got an amazing hope. And yet, what were we hoping for 2024? Dare we go there? Dare we go to that level of hope? Dare we think that? Dare we wait on the perfect justice of God? Dare we hope in heaven? Dare we believe that the good will out in the end? There was a news clip that I heard in the week. It was covering the Ukraine news story, the war that just goes on and on and on. And the news reporter said, it was a Christmas report, and he was talking about hope, and he said, hope is a hard sell when it's a long way away. I think sometimes we can feel that as people of faith. It feels like a hard sell to put all of our hopes in Jesus, in the Christmas story, in the future that's in front of us, when it sometimes seems so far away. If you flip your quiz sheet over, I'm not going to read out the narrative because the time's gone in it. It's enough for you to cast your eye over it. Jesus' family tree, the genealogy of Christ, I think will help us in 2024 to put our hopes in the right place. It gives us something to focus our hope on. So just have a little look down at the text if you've got it in front of you, if you can see over somebody's shoulder. Scan it, have a scan, quick read. A few notes about it. First thing that I saw when I looked at it was that it's a selected history of God's people to Christ. It's not everything that happened in the story of the Bible, it's not everything that happened in the Old Testament, but it's like a potted history. It covers the ground. Abraham the wanderer, who fathered a nation. God spoke to this person just wandering around under the tree of Mamre, I think. And a nation forms, incredibly, but they're still wandering around for a good while. There's kings in that list in the second chunk. Some kings led heroically. You might be able to just cast your eye over them and remember some of the kings that led heroically. And some of the kings were rubbish, and they led Israel into the gutter. And God's people were fallen and struggling. Then there were times when Israel, in that genealogy, was all conquering. It was victorious. It was glorious victories. And then there were times in that list when it was all conquered. And yet, in the list, and this is what the list tells us, in it all, it reaches Christ. In it all, God keeps his word. The word that he stated back in the book of beginnings. That's what the genealogy tells us. It points us back to the beginning. Genesis 12 verse 3 says, all people on earth will be blessed through you, Abraham. God is going to reach all the people of earth, and he's going to keep that promise. And we see in the genealogy in working that out. Genesis 49 says, the scepter will not depart from Judah until he whom it belongs shall come. The scepter will not depart from Judah until he to whom it belongs shall come. And the obedience of the nations shall be his. God is keeping a bloodline. He's making a way. He's weaving his tapestry. We can see that as he promises Christ will come at the start of his word, Christ is delivered. God keeps his word, even when it's rubbish. Even when Israel goes as far away as it possibly can, even though it looks like all is lost, God is still at work to make a way. It reminds us that in our lives, and I don't know how it'll roll for you in 2024, but in 2023, maybe there were times when God seemed a long way off. Maybe there were times when you switched the news on and you thought, how on earth is God here? How can God possibly be at work in this? We celebrate Advent. We anticipate Advent, not just because it's glorious that God came in the babe of Jesus, but because he came, we can believe that he'll come again. God was at work. God is still at work. I don't know what it looks like for you. I don't know how tough it's going to get. I don't know what's around the corner, but God is still at work. That's our first hope that we see. Second note from the genealogy is it's the wrong way around. Don't know how much you know about your ancient genealogies. They normally, typically, they start and the descendants follow on and they add the meaning. So they start with Adam or whoever and then his descendants, and you look into them and you go, oh, there's the meaning. That's what makes the person a good Jew. But with Jesus, his ancestors are named. Because Jesus gives them the meaning. It's the wrong way around. If you notice in the genealogy, in the family tree, Jesus comes at the start of it, he's stated, and then he comes at the end of it. God adds the meaning. So when David kills the giant, he doesn't just show Israel he's an awesome shot, or that God's behind him in that moment, but that God keeps his promises for all time. There's a huge, big lesson on the story of David. David would have had no idea that that lesson was coming. He would have had no idea that his story had that much gravitas. He already had a bit of gravitas slaying Goliath. But he teaches us of the promises of God and that God keeps them. Our actions when they're done in faith, when we walk with Christ, when we align ourselves with this family tree, when we put ourselves as part of his people, even tiny things, nondescript things, little acts of kindness, when we're gentle with somebody, when we endure, when we are there for somebody, when we care for somebody, when we do this in Jesus' name, often it feels like it just dissipates, doesn't it? It just drifts up into the sky, these things that we do. And yet, because we're part of this family, because Jesus is the end game of all things, because everything heads towards him, then these things that we do, and this is our hope in 2024, they don't disappear. They don't just drift off into the sky. They reverberate forever. That's our second hope. And lastly, the names matter in this genealogy. If you look through it, and maybe you're not an expert, I'm not an expert in genealogies, but you look through it and typically, a genealogy is there just to prove who you are. And if you're a Jew, like Jesus was a Jew, ordinarily just try and prove how Jewish you were. You just try and shout about your credentials. And in the time and culture of the day, you just basically have all the important blokes in there. That was how it would work. That was what the genealogy would look like. You'd include all the top men. You wouldn't have women. You certainly wouldn't have the women in that are listed in this genealogy. So have a look through, maybe you can spot some of them. They are heroes in their own way. but they're not what you'd pick out if you were trying to prove your Jewishness. But that's not what was going on with God. That's not what Jesus was trying to prove. Tamar of Canaan, who tricked someone into having sex to save herself. Rahab, the sex worker of Jericho, who helped God's people escape. Ruth, the Moabite. Bathsheba, if you know a bit about Bathsheba, the Hittite. She seemingly had to sleep with David and eventually stood up to him. These are not the kind of people that you would typically get in a genealogy. But Jesus is not trying to write a typical genealogy. And God is not telling a singly Hebrewic story. It's a story that reaches out to everyone. It's a story that's always reached out to everyone. This is our hope. God reaches beyond the religious, reaches beyond the nations, reaches beyond our worldview. His grace, his love to save, his outstretched arms reach beyond the boundaries that we see and we put in place. Sometimes when I look at the world around me, I don't know if you've got cynical yet, I'm 44, I've started getting cynical. You look at the news and I see the place that the world's going to, and I think God can't have had this in mind when he acted to redeem people. God can't have plans for this. He can't have a way back for this. I've got to rule some of these people out sooner or later. And yet God says to us in his word, in the Christmas story and in his family story, I've planned for this. God is always at work to save everyone. Sometimes I look into my own life and the sins that come back and the mess ups that I keep making and think, God can't have planned for this. I'm looking out at 2024 going, somewhere down the line I'll trip up. Somewhere down the line I'll come unstuck. God can't have planned for this. And yet I look into his family story. I see the people that make up his line. I see the people that he reaches out to in life. And I know that God's plan for this. I don't want to tell you to put your hopes up. I don't want to see you get your heart broken, but God and faith and Christ in this story takes us to a place, not of hope in everything, but of real hope in something. We've got this hope. This hope of amazing change for us in 2024. Maybe some of you know that already. This hope for amazing change. This hope because the ordinary everyday things that we do in Jesus' name have eternal significance and meaning. And there's real hope, and we should remain hopeful in 2024. And we see this tangibly in Christ because God doesn't give up. He's still at work. He's still at work. His arms are still stretched out. There's still somebody out there who needs to hear of his hope and his grace and his forgiveness, and they'll be reached in 2024. That's our hope. Hope you have a great New Year's Eve and a great 2024.